Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabe Moretti. I'm on the grid, but you already know that. You should be on the freaking grid, too. The Raging Redhead, Dan Stewart. He's on the grid at Sports Grid. Let's do this thing. We're into hour two right now of MMA Meltdown. Oh, no, I mean Game Time Decisions. We were Draft Time Decisions before, Kev. This is just basically an MMA show now.
Soon it's going to be NASCAR Marathon with Gabe Morenci and Cam Stewart. Yeah, we got NASCAR coming up too. So vroom, vroom. Hey, man, I'll tell you though, Gabe, it was really good. Usually these events, nothing lives up to the hype and everybody was jonesing for something. That's the thing. Everybody and their mother. It's the only game in town, right? Other than horse racing, you got this UFC card, but not just lived up to the hype, like better than the hype. And as I said before, like, I can't stress this enough. I don't want fans to even come back for MMA. I like the sounds. I want to hear it. Leg kicks are sharp, man. I thought it was fantastic. And this is one sport that you can do this stuff with, right? So, you know, moving forward, I think it's very good news for the UFC and its fans.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate moving forward. I actually threw it out there on Twitter on Saturday night about the fans. I said, man, this card's just not the same without the fans. Kidding. I said,
yeah. Yeah, dot, kidding.
And once again, it was sort of like the Arkansas Derby, where it actually never crossed my mind. I know it's different and stuff in a horse race, but like it never crossed my mind when I was watching the Arkansas Derby. Like I never thought, oh, it's too bad there wasn't fans there during the race. I wasn't like, oh, there's not fans in the stands. Like it never crossed my mind before. If you look at, like, what I think football, Cam.
Football
is the sport where you can say, okay, the fans can have an impact on a game a bit.
Yep.
They can just out of the loudness, right? We see with the false start penalties with the 12 men in Seattle. We see college football with the band and the shrieking and the screaming when the momentum starts to go.
College sports is definitely number one. You said it. Like college basketball, like when you're a team, when the wheels fall off on the road, you're that dog and then you can't score for 10 minutes. College basketball, college football, college sports is number one.
I almost think that college sports would be like the WWE is without fans. It won't be as good.
Yeah.
I've always said that. Like college basketball, a lot of games are pretty bad, bro, right? It's not like it's high level basketball. I've always said that. I said, take away the crowd, take away the Dick Vitale's hype, take away the band, and what do you have? You got a bunch of kids playing bad basketball in a gym.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. A lot of NBA, shots.
NBA is different. Like NBA players do feed off the crowd. They like it. Like there, it's different. Like NBA is the only sport, guys. Think about it. It's the only sport that they play music during the game.
Yeah.
Like there's actually like when your team gets the ball, like they have like they'll play music and the players like it. The players sort of, it's like a rhythm to them, you know, the crowd noise and the music. But basketball would be super cool without fans as well, Cam. You would hear the smack talk like big time and stuff. Like
I gotta tell you though,
it would be over the top cool.
People that don't like, who have problems with ears and like supersonic hearing, like the chalkboard, think about the squeaks with no fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be super squeak, man. You better have a guy with a good chamois because I'll tell you, those squeaks are going to drive
our
you
boy
in.
Vince. Yeah.
Shamwow. Yeah. Hire Vince. Hi, the NBA with COVID-19. I'm the new squeegee guy, Shamwow.
Yeah, he's great. He's the guy spraying the court down. Hey, I got a new job, right, guys. I'm with the NBA.
Hey, buddy. I'm out of jail. Look at me.
I'm surprised he's not pimping a coronavirus spray yet.
Exactly. I know.
He's probably legally warned not to.
Yeah, good point.
We want to welcome everybody tuning in right now, all of our affiliates, SB Nation Radio, the loudest station in the nation. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down with the Raging Redhead.
Cam Stewart. UFC was back. UFC 249. Great card, as Cam mentioned. Lived up to the hype. These fighters laid it on the line, man. Almost every one of the fights was just awesome. It was very hard to follow what Price and Luque did, right?
Yeah.
It really was, and there was sort of that little lull after, but it picked up again. Just every fight was competitive, too. That's one thing I was very impressed about. Like, I can't be critical of any of the fighters. You know, and even the judging. We talked about the judging being off for Watterson and Esparza, and it was. But most of the fights were very tough to judge, actually.
I agree.
Like, how about that Verdum fight? There was the parlay buster, bro.
Sure was. I didn't
have that. That was the parlay buster of the night.
That sure was. I'm still pissed about that one, too, because I don't know. It was just weird. You know, there's always the
that
one,
the
and
one.
It's a big favorite.
I
didn't even want to put it in. I'm like, yeah, that's the problem when you're putting parlays together. And we've been down this road before. Not every, like, minus 300 comes in. Like, we even talked about it. Hardy was due. Yes, put that one in the parlay. The other ones were working, too. I'm just like, God, why'd I add that one to the parlay, man? I know.
I was watching with a lovely lady on Saturday night, and she goes, each fight would start, and she'd go, which guy do you have?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, white guy, black guy, yeah, yellow
exactly.
shorts, you know, blue shorts, like whatever. So for Doom, I said, I got the guy in the dark shorts. He said, the Brazilian guy, not the Russian.
Yeah.
I said, the darker guy in the dark shorts. And she says to me, he looks out of shape.
He actually did look a little bit slugger.
The first thing she said, she goes, he looks out of shape. Yeah. And you saw his stomach and stuff. I was like, yeah. And I said, well, he's 42.
Yeah.
You know, though, he hadn't fought in like 2 years, Ken. We talk so much about Dominic Cruz not fighting in a while. It's different for a heavyweight. He looked slow. You know, he was suspended. He got nailed for PED. So he got popped. So he hadn't fought. And if you notice, Cam, he got lit up like a spliff on the back of Snoop Dogg's tour bus in the first round.
Sure
like,
did.
The Russian guy, and the Russian guy doesn't throw like that normally. The Russian guy was pummeling him, shot after shot after shot. And you notice Verdum absorbed the beating, went to his corner, nearly collapsed of exhaustion. And then I was like, oh, God, man, this doesn't look good. Uh-oh. But then he took over after that.
Yeah,
he took down, he started to control the fight. Like, that was an instance. If there was one more round, we would have won the fight, but should have, could have.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decisions continues. Get on the grid at Sports Grid. I'm on the grid. And so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're talking UFC. We're just a UFC show now, guys.
Yeah,
it's only all UFC all the time. Errol Hoani will join us tomorrow. Kevin Ioli will join us later in the week. My boy Errol, actually, we should get Errol on the show. Good guy, Errol. Happy for all of his success. You know, Errol Hoani, actually, pretty much the biggest like media guy in mixed martial arts now.
For sure.
Used to call me when he was a kid. Makes me feel old.
Oh, he used to be on your show. Hey, Gabe, how you doing?
He was a 13-year-old Expos fan.
Oh, amazing.
And I was the host of the Expos post-game show, and he used to call in. He told me that. I had no idea. It's pretty cool, huh?
That is cool.
The guy's all big, and he goes, I just want to let you know that, like, I'm a big fan of yours, and you were an influence on me. I was like, that's wow, I nearly cried. I was all dry here. Like, I was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He goes, you probably don't, I don't remember it, to be honest either. But he goes, I used to call you like on your show, like after Expo games when I was a kid. You're always nice to me and stuff, he said. So
too bad you didn't get a finder's fee. He's making a lot of money these days. All the people that who used to be on our shows, they're all pretty rich right now. It's like, hey,
yeah,
guys.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Remember us.
Seems like only Dana White's the only one to make good money in the UFC, but that's besides the point. But so we have UFC on Wednesday, guys. That's right. UFC Fight Night 31, whatever the hell it's called. But it's Wednesday night, Jacksonville. Now we got another one again. On Saturday, we have NASCAR returning, so we're going to head into the pits this week and start to break it down. We've got to bring Steve Merrill on this show, actually.
Yeah, great. That'd be nice. Yeah,
Merrill's really, really good with NASCAR. I look forward to betting on some NASCAR. It was fun betting on some fighting. So, of course, this is the Monday edition of Game Time Decision, so it's fitting. Let's talk a little dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Monday Night Football, Joe Tessitore and Booger out.
Yep.
They're going to be making some changes in the Monday Night Football booth. And I was critical of them. One thing I'll say, I know how hard that is. Okay.
It's very hard.
Not an easy job, guys. And I consider myself a pretty versatile talk show host. And I'm pretty well versed on a lot of subjects. I think I can do mainstream news. You could drop me on like the set of CNN. I'll hold my own. Can't put me in Monday Night Play. You know what I mean?
No. I'd crack a bad joke, get fired.
Imagine you
it's the same thing, yeah, you know?
Oh, welcome to the link. Hey, Cam. People like, these guys suck.
These Philly fans, he gone. Here's the thing, though, and I'm not going to be critical at all. These guys are world-class broadcasters. Booger used to play, good football player, LSU Tiger. But it's just one thing, like Tessitore, it's one of those things that you got to remember, a lot of common people watch football, and it came across as just, it just didn't have that same vibe, right?
They were miscast. That was the thing.
It was
Joe
a miscast.
Tessitore is a great broadcaster.
Yes, he is.
And for me, Cam, it seemed to me, and I could tell they were grooming Tessitore years ago, and I could knew they were going to push our boy Brent out, too. I could just see, I could just feel it, right?
Yeah.
And you remember, Tessitore used to do the Friday night college football
games.
We'll give him credit.
Yep.
Worked his
way
up the ladder. He used to do it with Gilmore.
And I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Right? They do the MAC games. Mountain West, some Pac-12.
Yep.
They didn't have the best games, and Tessitore was into it. He was into it. And the Fresno State Bulldogs rally by, like, he had an enthusiasm about him.
Yeah.
Then he got promoted. They bumped Brett. He got promoted, started doing SEC games, and college football is perfect. Joe Tessitore oversells things.
Yes.
He's like overhyped. That's perfect for college football. It isn't for Monday Night Football. Booger is a great analyst, but he's not a lead analyst on Monday Night Football. He's a good college lead analyst. Booger would be good as the third guy on the sidelines.
I agree.
At Monday Night Football. All right, let's go down to Booger, see what's going on down there, Booger.
Yep.
He can't carry the broadcast. He's not that broadcaster. Like, he's not slick enough. It's hard. It's not an easy job, guys. So I'm just saying this because a lot of people, finally going to make fun of them. I salute them. Hey, guys, you guys should be proud. You guys were broadcasters on Monday Night Football for a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Nothing to hang your head about.
No, you put that in your resume. Anybody who did that, you could say if your career ended today, that'd be success.
And they're not fired.
Oh, God, no.
Like, Tessitore and Booger aren't fired. They're just not doing Monday Night Football.
Here's the thing.
Anymore. I think Tessitore should go back to college football.
I couldn't agree more. It's actually funny. His kid's a kicker at Boston College, too. Tessitore's kid plays college football.
Yeah.
Booger, he's a punter, I think. Or is he a kicker or punter? I know he plays.
Booger,
he's a kicker. Thank you, Pucci. I knew he was.
Booger should be like in the studio show.
I agree.
Like Sunday mornings. Put him in the studio show next to the coaches and stuff. Like, he's good. I'm not saying run him out of town. He shouldn't have been in that role. Yeah, it's like an actor being in the wrong role.
The whole crew, it just didn't feel like a crew.
That stupid Booger that they had moving down the side.
Yeah, it was so dumb. The thing is, Al Michaels and Michelle Tafoya, it's like a marriage. You watch them, it's very natural. He knows, throw to Michelle. It's a very professional broadcast, and they know each other's nuances. They've been doing it for a long time. That's why the Sunday Night Football team, it's a lot cleaner. That's all.
There's a push, and I brought this guy up before, actually. He was doing the XFL. He was doing some college football. He's more of a SportsCenter guy. He was a host, but damn good play-by-play guy. Like, really, really, really good. I don't know, though, if he's right for Monday Night Football. I'm talking about Steve Levy. He's really good, Cam. Like, slick.
He knows all sports, too. Like, Levy knows he's a well-rounded sports guy. Like, he's not just a one-trick pony.
Oh, he can do NHL hockey. He can do NFL football. He can do baseball. Like, yeah, he knows all. You're right. I got a lot of respect for that guy. I've been a fan of his. I really liked his work during the XFL season, too. Enthusiastic, good, smart. He's got a very good voice. He's just got that. He's got that sports voice. You know what I mean?
Sure does.
He's supposedly the front runner right now to be the new play-by-play guy. And the big push, and it's almost like people, all right, you guys are going to get him this job almost. And I like him. But it's amazing how popular he is, where people are going to be, like, demanding that he gets the job. Lewis Riddick.
Yeah.
Lewis Riddick is, like, he's the guy that everybody wants, man. Like, but the thing is, you listen to the fans, you end up sitting next to the fans. And ESPN needs to get this one right, Cam. Like, they can't screw up their booth every 2 years and redo this. They've got to get some sort of rhythm going. And they missed out on Peyton Manning. They offered a ton of money. You know, I think they probably think they have Drew Brees in their pocket down the road, maybe.
Who knows about that? He might just say, football's been great. Hi, politics.
Yeah, I'm going to be the governor of Louisiana.
Yeah, exactly. I got bigger fish to fry, as crazy as that sounds, but it's true.
You're right. Like, so it'll be interesting to see. But so Tessa Torin Booger, Monday Night Football, they're out. They are out. And me and Cam got a call and asked if we wanted to do a audition for them. Said no. We're too busy here right now in SB Nation Radio.
That's right. Dallas Cowboys owner said, screw these turkeys. No, they can't do it. Like the old days when we did the CFL, it's like everybody loved it except for, there's always that one owner who wants to, not let us be popular.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that we would be so bad. But I'm just kidding. I just know not Monday Night Football. You know, it takes special people. You need the perfect guys to do that. But kidding aside, me and Cam actually did. We were going to do CFL football games on Sirius satellite radio with former Florida State Seminole Danny McManus. Mm-hmm. Danny Mack, he was our analyst, and I was me and Cam. I was doing play-by-play, and Cam was just sort of me and Cam, and then Danny Mack, and we actually did the game. Like, we went to the stadium. They set us up to fail. Our screen didn't work. We're way up, and this guy couldn't see anything. And we did a pilot. We did the game. We did, like, the first half of a game. And the commissioner of the CFL loved it. Mm. And we were going to do it. We were going to do it. But basically, the Jerry Jones of the CFL, David Braley, he owned two teams at the time.
Yeah,
he
first
basically
of all,
ran the league.
That's not a conflict of interest. Owning two teams in the league? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, in an 18 league.
Yeah, the guy owns two of them. He owns 20% of the league, 25% of the league. Thanks.
Dude, there was a championship game where he had both teams.
Yeah.
The Argos and the BC Lions played. He owned them both at the time. Hey. Like, he couldn't lose.
It's like Bob Baffert, Gabe.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Gene Simmons at the Kentucky Derby. Such a jerk, Gene Simmons. He's like, once again, I picked the winner. He bet on every horse. He bet on every horse, essentially. And after, he's like, I got the winner here. Sure, you played 21 tickets. Thing is, if one of the under, one of the long shots is, you make money, get on the grid. It's been quite a hair week in quarantine for the Raging Redhead.
You're telling me. Ronnie Rugg. Yeah, that's the new name.
That's good. Ronnie Rugg. I like that.
Hi, everybody. Nice to meet you. Ron Rugg. Tommy Tupé. I don't know. You're right, Gabe. It's out of control. Like, it looks like a dead animal up there. It actually does look like fake hair. It's just a bad coif. I might go your style to shave it all off, buddy.
I like to see that look, actually. I like to see that look.
Got a lot of dents in my head, though. That's the problem. Like, you have a nice head that's perpendicular. And I've, you know, that's the thing about bald people. Some guy, you got to have that nice dome. You can't have the dents and the other stuff. I got a lot of weird stuff going on. I've been concussed a lot. So, yeah, my head's basically got, like, a lot of divots and stuff in it. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. You still got some it looks like your hair is hanging on, though. You're not going to bald.
Oh, I'm not going to lose any hair. I should actually get rid of all my hair and sell it to people. Don't they buy hair? Yeah, instead of giving blood, I'll give hair.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like you have Cindy Crawford's hair. How much are you getting?
I know. It's pretty thick.
You don't have that much of it either.
Yeah, you haven't seen my back.
No one wants to buy your back hair.
No, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
Let's just be real. nobody wants to buy your back hair. All right, so I was talking about when will this season actually start, actually. Is it going to be September the 10th? I don't think so. I think it could be mid-October. And, you know, I like looking at the I sort of like looking at the bigger picture of this schedule. And it could jump in week 5, actually. So that's – I really don't think they're going to start on September the 10th. But if you want to look at, like, sort of the marquee games of each week, we talked about the season opener that supposedly is going to be the Houston Texans and the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. But week 1, Buccaneers and Saints. Buccaneers and Saints. And Tom Brady opens up on the road at New Orleans. And I think he opens up with a loss there. Like, guys on, like, Drew Brees and Tom Brady, regular season matchup, people are going to be all fired up. But Brady's going to have a target on his back with all these other players that have never really drilled him before, right? Like, guys on the Saints are going to go, I got an opportunity to sack Brady for the first time in my life right now. And, you know, like I said, they're going to have a big target on.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Arezzi, throwing it down. SB Nation Radio, let's do this. Kicking it with the raging redhead, Cam. There was so much to get to today. We're like the UFC. No fans, no guests. This is nobody allowed for safety reasons into the studios. no guests. No fans. So they'll be fighting again with no fans on Wednesday night. And it is funny, though, actually, when they began to broadcast, all right, Joe Rogan is like, man, this is really weird. He's like, you know, here we are. We're just in this empty arena. And Daniel Cormier brought it up, too. He goes, you know, this is great. We're doing this. He goes, I don't know why we're doing this in an arena.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes, Cormier even said, do we need this big of a space? And then he did say, well, you know, it's a sense of normalcy going into the arena and the dressing rooms and everything. But they did a good job, actually. It was so dark, so you couldn't see empty seats either, right? Yeah. You couldn't. And let's be real. How many times, like, you know, prelims, nobody's there anyways.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Nobody's there anyways at prelims. There's not fans at prelims. Anyways, look at baseball. There's no fans at. There's a lot of parks where there's no fans at.
Buddy,
Marlins,
think about us going to the Jay games when you lived here. You go to a Jay game, man. You show up in the third or fourth inning. You're like, where the hell is everybody? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm gonna conveniently show up halfway through the game. It's like, okay. Like, there's tons of empty seats. You said it, Marlins. Same thing, man. It's a ghost town.
One thing with the NBA, bro, they're going to have to tell the players, guys, you're really, please, for the love of God, watch your language.
Yeah, oh, I
like,
know.
Oh, God. Like, you imagine the NBA, bro?
What about hockey players? They talk, they're just, they got the dirtiest mouths in the game. I'm going to take your family.
Just F-bombs. It's like, it's going to get bad.
I'm going to do this to your wife type of thing.
Racial stuff.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. And there's a lot of crazy things that have said. Dude, I sat courtside at the Bulls Knicks game this year. Literally, I was courtside. Could not get any closer. I was right under the basket. And it was pretty hardcore, bro. These dudes talk, a lot. And there was, I can't repeat. You can't even get close. The league tells them, don't use certain words. You know what I mean? If you're going to swear, fine. But don't. Please do not say these things. And it'll be interesting. I like what you said, the squeaking. Somebody that has a phobia or something, it'll be like, make it stop.
No, the thing is, when I watch a basketball game, it's cool. But, if you really focus in on it, it's loud with fans. I don't even know what they're going to do. Are they going to have, is there a buff that they can put on the floor to have less?
You know what they'll do, Kim? They're going to play music.
Yeah, they have to.
They're going
to
play music, buddy. They're going to do it just like there'll be music in the arena.
It better be at a good volume because those squeaks are loud, man, with no fans.
You see what the Bundesliga is doing. I think Puccio placed his order. Puccio's going to be in the stands at Borussia Dortmund, I believe.
Is that his team in Germany?
No, I don't know who his German team is, but I don't know if you guys saw this, before. It's pretty cool. They're selling, you can be at the game. It's sort of what I came up with. Remember what I said? They're going to get the fans involved somehow. Basically, Cam, for $20, they make a big cardboard cutout of you.
I like it.
And they put you in the stand.
I love it.
So you're
it's you.
Whatever face you want, this or you're surprised or you get your fan pose.
You get to keep your cutout? Do you get to keep your cutout too? Or is it always there permanently now?
They have it. Maybe in the future they give it to you after. I don't know.
I'd say $20, good investment for your own cutout.
$20, you're at the game. I talked about this before. Remember in the NFL draft they did it, where they had the fans in the boxes, the Brady Bunch, the Zoom. And I said, that was a great idea. I said, that would be cool at the NBA. I don't know. And I remember I brought it up in the early days. I said, I don't know how you do it, Cam. I don't know if you put screens in the stands, sort of big movies. You could put big screens in the stands and have the fans there. You can fill it up. There's ways to make it look cool. But it was interesting.
They did the Asian baseball. The Asian baseball had the fans like that, right?
Well, Asian baseball, they did they had robot fans, fake fans, placard fans. They basically filled the seats up with different stuff. And, of course, they have real cheerleaders, too.
Amazing.
I liked how they had the fans, the fake fans, the robot fans, had masks on even.
I know.
The fake fans had masks. So, pretty cool concept. It'd be interesting. For the NBA playoffs, I would do it. That's something that I would definitely do. If the Raptors are all right, you can't be here, but you can have a video message or be on the video screen or something, I would do it. I'd get decked out in Raptor gear. I'd just be the encouraging guy. That'd just be my clip.
Come on. going wild. Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea because...
But it should be live, actually, where you could... have it where you're the line, the reactions of people flipping out, which would make it fun. Mm-hmm. But there's ways to do it. I'm just stating, Cam. Yeah, so shout out to Germany. Thinking on the fly here with some Bundesliga action. Placards with fans. It's a good idea.
It is a very good idea. Also, you talk about what they did at the NFL draft. You get the fans on the Jumbotron, flash that. There's a lot of things that you could do to enhance the broadcast. But, I'm totally with you. You can't just have empty seats. It won't look cool enough. I agree.
Speaking of the NFL, so we talked about Monday Night Football, and they're going to be making a change in the broadcast booth. But the stadium in Vegas is going to be ready. All right? And they've continued on with the construction through this virus. Some people in Vegas were upset.
They had it. Guys who were building Allegiant Stadium also had COVID-19.
A ton of them. I think 37 of them have gotten it. It's construction sites are a cesspool for this stuff. It's hard to socially distance there.
I know.
So the stadium in California, they stopped for a couple of days, but I think they restarted again. So the stadium in California, the new one, where the Rams are moving to and the Chargers are moving to in Los Angeles, it's, man, you want to talk about state-of-the-art. Holy crap, man. Like, a lot of stadiums, they spend a lot of money on, and you're like, I don't know what you spent all the money on. It just looks like another stadium. This one, you're like, oh, yeah, I see where you spent the money. like the future has arrived with this stadium. It looks like super, super cool. And it's always something, hey, with the Chargers game. But Gavin Newsom, those two evil words that sports fans hate in California now. Ah, Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom. I don't know. Like, so I'm telling you right now, the NFL is looking into this already, Cam, because the NFL, they're on top of things, right? They know reality, and all right, this could be a problem, so we better have a plan. What if they can't play there? Like, remember the Bay Area guy, the executive doctor, the guy on the board in Santa Clara said, not till we can't play here, even with no fans. Mm. He said, we can't do anything here till mid-November. So there's a little bit of a thought already right now that what if they can't play in that new stadium? What if the stadium's not 100% ready? What if Gavin Newsom says no? The thought is the Rams and the Chargers would play in Vegas.
Interesting. Very interesting.
They would play in the new Vegas stadium as well.
So Allegiant Stadium would be hosting three teams then.
I just love the irony of, like, the Raiders going to get all mad. We built this stadium.
I know.
You guys have been barging in and playing in other people's stadiums your entire franchise history.
It's like payback. I got to tell you, this is something to really think about too. And that's why, the home team stadium idea we have to think about. New York, too. I watch Governor Cuomo every day. He has a dressing. They're still talking about it. New York City's huge, man. Like, there's no guarantees. California, the same thing. Newsom's not screwing around. He's not like Florida and these other states going, hey, we're just going to see what happens here when everyone goes to the beach. So that's why I kind of worry about, I don't even mind the neutral sites for the NFL, because at the stadiums, not everything's the same. New York State is still worried about stuff. California, these are highly populated states. It's not like some of the other ones. It's comparing apples to oranges. It's different, buddy. You know that.
It's like we talked about with college football, in which the college commissioners basically stated in the room, guys, there's going to be competitive imbalances. Mm-hmm. Like that, they said there's no way around it. Like, like one college team, like the Ducks are a good example. The Ducks want to play Cam, all right? Yep. And the thing is, they don't know their status. But the athletic director of the Ducks in the Pac-12 Oregon stated, there's a lot of plans on the table right now, and not playing is not one of them.
Exactly.
So basically, they're not ready to roll over. But they might not be ready to play in September there.
That's right. Exactly.
And so, in other words, the Ducks might have to play like 4 or 5 weeks in a row on the road.
Exactly. Tampa Bay Buccaneers had to deal with
the road. So it's like, you guys are playing, you want to play for the money, but you're going to bury yourselves. You're putting yourself in a tough, scheduling situation here.
For sure.
But you can almost work it out. Like, Ohio State are going there. They're supposed to play Ohio State. And, and the thing is, they're playing for the next couple of years. Like, it was next year, Oregon was going to go to Columbus anyways. So just reverse it. Like, they're already thinking of things like that. All right, well, we can just reverse it. But we're not even there from a safety standpoint. And I'm tired of being the negative guy, and people are going to tune in and think I hate sports because I'm always telling people it's not going to happen.
Don't be real, though.
Even Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, who I don't like this guy at all, even he said, he goes, guys, if there's no students, there's no
games.
He said it's college sports.
Exactly.
Without students, what's the point? Like, he's basically stating that's not like, we're not a made for TV. We're not pros. It's college athletics. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I don't know what his agenda is and his motives for saying this. But I just sort of think he's saying, hey, slow down, everybody. There's no guarantee we're playing college football. I mean, we're back to the preferred plan. But this is when... SEC's preferred plan will happen.
Play.
They're gonna say blow me to the NCAA. They're gonna say, I don't care what you say to us.
Yeah, they're going, I don't care about what you're talking to me. We're playing football, damn it. We're playing football. They're gonna tell, like, they'll just say, you're not playing. Yeah, we are. These guys
James Franklin, the coach of Penn State, the gloves are off with him.
Yes.
He's basically talking about Michigan already. He's all like, if 75% of our conference can play, and 25% of our conference can't play. Do you shut it down for 25? No. He's basically saying, we're playing as well. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and while we were gone, Cam's making money. Cam's betting the ponies live during the show, as he always does. as he always does. It'd be great. I remember during we were doing in-game live when there was sports going on, and you know we're watching a game, and out of nowhere you just hear Cam, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And I have nothing to do with, like, the sport that we're watching. I'm like, you all right, Cam? And he's like, he goes, yeah. Just had a little muddy in Gulfstream there. Yeah, a little race going on.
We had fun, though. Legendary Lindsay and stuff. We turned in-game live with Capper's Corner. And I'll tell you, that guy hits ponies like he's going out of style. He's very good. Very, very good. It's going to be nice to have the gang back together, hopefully soon.
Yeah. I think the Meadowlands is going to open in June. I think we're a couple of weeks away, actually, but it's going to be fanless. No fans, yeah. No patrons allowed.
Just you and security guard.
Yeah, basically, I think they'll open the studio for the broadcasters, and they would have live racing. Like, so, you know, we talked about it. It's a lot of horses that got to get out there, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, they're gonna have live racing, make some money. Doesn't mean that people are going to be able to go there. But nevertheless, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Crazy weekend, though. It was actually snowing on the East Coast.
Buddy, I know. It snowed here.
People talking about baseball. How many games would have been snowed out or rained out? Like, the weather has been, like, if there's one positive about the quarantine or this, there's no positive, obviously. But you know what I mean? We really haven't missed anything, at least on the East Coast. Like, the weather has sucked.
That is a silver lining. If it's sunny, think about all the people that would go out. Hey, man, I see people trying, like, right now, right? Like, kids were playing a cricket game. They weren't social distancing and stuff, and there's not enough people around to, like, the cops, right? So everyone, think about it. Gabe, if it was sunny and stuff, think about what problems we'd have, especially, like, places like New York City, Los Angeles, stuff. This is actually a godsend that it's cold right now. Everybody should be, like, thanking Mother Nature that it's pretty grim. I am.
Yeah, you know, it's if there's anything, at least, you know, the weather has sucked.
Yes, it has.
So what have we really missed? But there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The weather's getting nicer now. It's eventually going to get nicer. It is. It's like literally, you know, we're about a week or two away from springtime weather on the East Coast. And sports are back. The UFC is back. We have the UFC on Wednesday night again. We're going to get into some NASCAR this week as well. Bring on some NASCAR guests. Break it down, see what we should be looking for and what to expect. I've got a bunch of good NASCAR guys that we've had on over the years. So, you know, UFC is a sport that we've been a diehard fan of since its inception. NASCAR, I'm also a very, very big fan, but I'm not going to tell you guys that my knowledge of NASCAR is as good as my knowledge of, I know everything about mixed, I'm not saying I'm a genius, but I know everything about the UFC. NASCAR, I'm an informed fan.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I'm not like, you know, I need some, I can't tell you. I'm not going to look under the hood and start fixing a NASCAR for you, Cam. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's tough.
Like, I can't be a member of the pit crew, but I know who to bet on. I'm pretty
good at knowing
who to bet on.
Exactly.
And I look forward to that. All right, let's get to a couple of questions. Questions of the day. Our main man, Kyle, in Atlanta. Stay safe. Kyle is in Atlanta, Georgia. Says you have to complete one of these three tasks, or you have to go one-on-one versus the murder hornet in a hotel room with nothing but your hands. You see those killer hornets now are coming to get us.
Yeah, they're tough.
It never ends. So what would you prefer to do? Score a single point against Kawhi Leonard in a game of one-on-one. Get a single off of Max Scherzer. You get 21 attempts, 21 outs. Score a touchdown from the 3-yard line against the 49ers defense. You get four downs.
Those are really good questions, but I'll tell you what the most impressive one is. B, anytime, if you're in a one-on-one game with Kawhi, you might be able to take one lucky shot that goes in. For football, say your offensive lineman builds you a big hole and we just find a way, but getting a single off Max Scherzer, how hard is it to baseball? I've gone to cages 65, 75 miles an hour. It looks like you're almost dead. If I got a single off Max Scherzer, I would consider that unbelievable. I'd be, that's the one, B.
I wouldn't get a single off of Scherzer.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's the most.
I know.
Is,
no, you're right.
The most impressive, right? That's B.
Yeah. Which one do you think you could do?
Oh, what? Oh, could I do? Oh, I couldn't do that. I thought it was which one was most.
I would pick the Kawhi.
I would pick A or C. Actually, I could pick C because if you have a good offensive
line.
You're
a pretty big dude. So what?
Yeah,
you
I could get in there. I'll just
land big fullback running in for three.
Yeah, I'm like Mike Allstott. Don't worry, baby. I just come on. I'll follow you right in there. Boop, boop, boop. I think C for me, I would never get a hit off Scherzer. And you, Kawhi Leonard, because you used to play 3-on-3 with sharp elbows. You'll go A, I'll go C.
Yeah, I would fumble. If I was the running back, I would fumble. I'd get hit and fumble the ball.
Oh, Morenci gets popped. Loose ball.
Morenci fumbled. Oh, freaking Morenci just
97 yards the other way. Touchdown. Bad guys.
Yeah. I don't want to. I'd get popped. I'd get popped. From the three-yard line, wouldn't it be? It's not as easy as people think. But you're a big dude.
You
can plow forward.
And you've seen me run too. Like I can actually, for my size, I can run. So I think I can actually do that with a good block. With a good block.
I could too. I could make it if it was a really good bootleg call. Like if we fooled them and I went the other way type thing, I would make it. But
exactly.
I don't know. That'd be actually be fun to try that, Cam.
Yeah,
You're the quarterback and you run for the end zone only 3 yards. Can you do it?
Just
would I get there or would Khalil Mack chase me down first?
Yeah, that'd be
sometimes
tough.
Sometimes you see, like, when you see a slow white guy, dude, those quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And sometimes like, you see Fitz running and it's like, man, you can get there, bro. You can get there. Though it closes fast.
he's real slow, though. Like, Phillip Rivers and Fitzpatrick are real slow. Like, I'm for a big guy. I'd surprise – like, you've seen me run the 40.
That's
like, those guys are slower than me.
Yeah, like, how much – yeah, exactly. Like, Phillip Rivers cannot run.
Phillip Rivers has a wooden leg. Like, he can barely – he can't run. Yeah. No.
So, I don't know. I was a big fan of that TV show, Pros versus Joes.
Oh, they should bring it back, too. I know. I love that show. It was awesome. The best was every time they got on the ice, they'd screw up. It was hard to find a good hockey guy. Like some guy was good at football, basketball. He's like on the ice. He's like, oh, they're all like falling down.
Oh, yeah, I know. That would be if you were I on that show. That'd be a great advantage. Like, all right, we're playing hockey. Let's go.
Yeah, if they gave us hockey, we'd be like, yeah, now we're winning.
You know who it was? That was it. They had Marty McSorley on.
Yeah, that's right.
And Marty McSorley, and someone started chirping him a bit, man.
Yeah.
And McSorley's like, all right. McSorley, like, nailed him pretty good once in the class.
Yeah, right in the corner. Smash.
He's always one of those, like, always one of the Joes that have a big mouth, right, and start running his mouth.
It's true.
I remember once, like, remember Kevin Willis, the basketball player with the Atlanta Hawks? Yeah. Big dude, big guy, great rebounder. I remember someone, like, talk smack to him for real. And Willis got mad. And... dude, like Willis, like started swatting the ball back, like in the guy's face, though.
Yeah.
Like it's like, dude, I can block the shot or I can swat it back at you, right? Like just sort of like violently, he started swatting it and he started playing hard on the guy. He wore him out. He wore him out fast. As you stated, I'd take the Kawhi one. It would be hard. Like if Kawhi didn't want you to get a shot off, you wouldn't. Like, if he really, really got in your face, I would not be able to get a shot off. Like, he would just keep playing.
No, it's true. But if you did it real quick, like, you'd have to almost, like, just
put
up a
prayer. That's what I'm saying. You just pop a quick three.
You could. You could. If he does, anytime he had, like, just a little bit of hesitation. How many years did Willis play for the Raptors? He played a few years for Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, Toronto Raptor.
Well-traveled, Kevin.
I think of him with he's one of those dudes, wore, like, a million wristbands on his forearm.
Yes, he did. I know, it's like. He was Lance Armstrong before Lance. I know. What's with the wristbands?
He loved the wristbands, that guy, man. But like, he used to have them around his arm, like his bicep. He loved those things. Like,
yeah, I know. I like
he sweat a lot.
You're right. He's a real sweat machine, that guy. Perspiration king. True.
He's. All right. So Theodore asks, what are our feeling about parlays? Are parlays underutilized? And, you know, parlays is a polarizing debate. You'll get a lot of people that say, oh, parlays are for losers. You know, sports books love people that play parlays, all the parlay guys.
No, and the thing is, parlay players. That's what they like.
Yeah, the thing is, they like the sports book, like FanDuel is a good example. There's a mass sheer volume of guys that play the minimum. It used to be $2 minimum. They made it $5. So there's a ton of dudes that play these $5 parlays in the NBA. They're playing like 10 teams. Like, they're going hardcore. So some guy will spend $5 trying to win 8,000 type thing. It's extremely difficult and rare to do that. The sports books like those guys, mm-hmm. right? Because it's big volume. They don't really win that often. And it's a small payout. They're only betting $5. Even if they win, whatever. Give the guys $3,400. I'm telling you now, sports books hate a professional parlay player.
Yes, they do.
It puts $400 a parlay on like four or five parlays a night, playing 2,000 a night, five parlays, $400 each, or four parlays, $500 each. Not 12 teams, four teams.
Three or four. Yeah. Sometimes two or three, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are dangerous players.
Yeah, the four-game bangers where you're getting that 12-1, that 18-1, and a lot of pros play like that. So, like, you'll hear sort of, like, you know, everyone thinks they're a wise guy. Oh, only losers play parlays. No, no. Yeah. There's like high rollers in Vegas that like
even our buddy, parlays. Even our buddy, Richard Garner. I watched. Yeah. Remember he used to hit those, and he'd play dog parlays, three and four gamers. Guy puts up $500. He's winning like, you know, like $16,000 and stuff sometimes. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. With dog parlays.
I haven't had big success with parlays, and it angers me.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to. I'd like to win more, you know, but if I play a 14 parlay, I'll win three of the games.
Yeah, me too.
If I play a three-team parlay, I'll win two of the games.
Yep.
Right? So I'm a two-game parlay guy. I like that. I like the two-game parlay, plus 240, plus 250.
That's nice what I did.
Banger.
Yep.
And for fighting, I did it, and it worked out, Cam, because look, I bet on that parlay, Cejudo and Ferguson.
Yep.
All right, so I would have won with Cejudo, but it was minus 210. Anyway,
exactly.
And then I would have lost the juice with Ferguson at minus 178.
Exactly.
I played the parlay. Like, if you looked at my picks, there were a lot of two-fight parlays, plus money, or over-unders at plus money. So yeah. I went 5-4. We basically broke even on the card, but we came close. Watterson got robbed. She wins, I have a nice profit, Cam.
I agree with you, because Watterson.
Like, simple as that. It was one fight away from having a nice profit.
I smashed round-robin parlays, and think about it. A lot of them were good. All the stuff that we talked about, you know, the Pettis connection, because that line was only $1.35. So all these parlays were going to plus money. And Ferguson losing, yeah, if I bet that individually, that line, Gabe, can you believe it went up to like minus 210 before the fight? Like, we were talking like 170. Obviously, a lot of people who bet Gaethje, I don't even think they got the good, like, you could have waited and waited and got him at like plus
185. Oh, it started to really climb. It got crazy.
It did.
Ferguson. I think he caught FanDuel. He closed at like minus 240 or so.
Yeah, that's craziness.
Yeah, money steamed in. Mm. And you know what? Props to the sharps, because it was a classic. That fight and the betting patterns were a classic sort of, you know, a lot of MMA experts and predictors said, I think Gaethje's gonna, you know, can win this fight.
Yeah.
But the number didn't show it, like the sheer volume. And we should note as well, Cam, it was the most bet. We'll get the exact numbers for you, for everybody this week. But it was the most bet UFC card in the history of the UFC.
For sure.
You know, because it was the only show in town. And in fact, I got a pizza on Saturday night. And I went over and I picked it up. There's a pizza spot near me. So I went over and the guy was busy. It was all like, he seemed like overwhelmed and stuff.
Yeah.
Phone's ringing and he's all, I said, oh, good. I said, man, you're busy tonight. Good. And because there's a curfew, obviously, with everything that's going on. And he goes, yeah, he goes, I don't know what's going on tonight. But he goes, I'm getting a ton of calls. He goes, big orders. He goes, almost like the Super Bowl or something. And I said, oh, it's the UFC.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like, people watched it, they bet it, and it was good for even like local pizza businesses, etc. And funny how the economy works like that. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we've only got a couple of minutes left here on Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with the Raging Redhead, Ken Stewart. So we were kidding that we're leading into the draft. We were calling the show Draft Time Decisions instead of Game Time Decisions because there was no games to make decisions on. Now, I don't know, is it Fight Time Decisions? Because we've been talking a lot of MMA, and we're going to have MMA on Wednesday night. And, of course, we've got another fight card this weekend. We were kidding earlier about Anthony Smith, and it's a true story, actually. Anthony Smith had a home invasion. There was an intruder in his house. Mm-hmm. And in Nebraska, and Anthony Smith said, it was a couple of, about 3 weeks ago, about a month ago or so, and Anthony Smith said, I need this guy in the face. I kicked him. He basically went full, and guys, Anthony Smith went like toe-to-toe with John Jones for 25
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
Like he said, I gave everything. He goes, I went MMA on his ass. He goes, I elbowed him. I literally kneed him in the face. I kicked him. I punched him. And he said, the guy just kept coming at me.
The guy was probably a meth monster, right? Probably hopped up on goofballs, and he didn't feel pain for a while, right?
The psychos on the street out there, right? Yeah. And so now he's fighting Glover Teixeira. Ooh. Interesting fight. I like Glover Teixeira. I'm not saying I like Glover Teixeira in this fight, but I've always been a fan of Glover Teixeira. Yeah, I think Anthony Smith's going to win this fight. He's about a minus 180 favorite. Ben Rothwell and Ovince St. Preux, OSP. Not GSP.
Rothwell still fighting? Wow.
Yes, sir.
That's great.
OSP, former Tennessee Volunteer, actually, football
player. That's right.
So we have another decent card. Anthony Smith and Teixeira will be a fun fight. Rothwell and OSP will be a boring fight. That won't be exciting. Andre Arlovsky. Arlovsky's always in an entertaining fight. He's a heavyweight. So the main event, though, is Anthony Smith and Glover Teixeira. On tomorrow's show, we'll start to get into the picks. And speaking of heavyweights, we also have Alistair Overeem and Walt Harris coming up, Tyrell Woodley and Gilbert Burns. So we got some cool stuff on the horizon. And we got NASCAR this weekend, Cam, and the Skins game. Yep. So, put your get your golf shoes out of the closet. Get your cleats ready.
Yep.
Get your cleats ready. We're expecting some insights, some props, and some picks, Cam, for the Skins competition.
Damn right, yeah. Soft spikes, Gabe. They don't use metal anymore. I'll come prepared.
No. It's too bad. Too bad we're not allowed the old school metal cleats. Think of those bastards, those Houston Astros, getting away with it right now.
Exactly.
The Astros should be taking hard slides and getting yelled at by drunk fans.
It's Man, true.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.